The Lord is doing great things. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you would like to return to your seat and remain standing just for one more minute as I read from the Word of the Lord. We've actually had church already. We've heard a message already. And I really feel in some way I'm redundant, but I do believe I have something to say. I'm not going to be long-winded, but it's Friday night, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime occasion. So I want to make sure we do everything the Lord wants us to do tonight. Amen. So I'm reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, and I'm not going to add my greetings to I do appreciate all the ministers who've come, friends and family and the district, the city. And of course, I thought it was so great that the Hoffmans were honored. That's right and good. And I value that because we're here because of them. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4, talking about Israel getting ready to go to the promised land. And so God gave the instructions to Joshua. He gave it to the leadership. So here's what the leaders did. I'm reading from the New King James, Joshua 3:3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits my measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And my simple thought here tonight is a new day. Not taken away from anything that's happened, but we must realize if we want to receive what God has for us, we must realize this is a new day. A new day. And we've got to claim it by faith and prayer. For the future of this church, a new day. You may be seated. And so I want to say just a few things. This is a time of recognition and installation. Of course, the purpose, the Bernards are already pastors and have already been working. But this is our way of officially recognizing, affirming, and also a mutual commitment that we're going to move forward in Jesus' name. And it's a time to invoke God's blessings because without Him, we're nothing. All the talent in the world, all the ability in the world is nothing without the blessing of God. We don't want to take it for granted. This is our way of saying we're setting aside a time to say, Lord, we need and want and desire your blessing and we commit to your will. And so I think it's more than a ceremonial occasion. Something actually happens in the spirit when we make that kind of commitment and we seek that kind of blessing. And of course, it's a time of celebration. So let me just make a few statements here. And of course, I love this family. You know, what wonderful kids. Claire and Elise and this new little guy, Christian. Now, you might think I'm being biased, but I'll prove that I'm not. We have a respected pastor of a large, successful church in Louisiana, Brother Mark Christian. Would you agree, from your objective point of view, that these are wonderful kids? There you go. In the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. Completely objective. You know, kids do make sacrifices in the ministry, and we want to make sure they feel the blessings as well. That doesn't mean we're going to promote them unfairly, but neither will we penalize them unfairly because they're preacher's kids. But it's a family package deal, and we know that they're going to make a commitment because of their parents. So let me just make a few statements here about this new day. A new day does not mean turning away from the past, but it means building on the past. So everything I say to push us forward tonight, and I think Pastor Bernard is going to be preaching Vision Sunday, he's going to be pushing forward. That does not mean an implied criticism or any kind of thing that, well, the past we could have, should have, would have. It's just to say, no, God brought us to this point with the leaders that God chose, but the best way to honor those leaders is not to stay right where we are, but we've got to move forward in the will of God. a new day requires spiritual direction. This is a powerful church. This is a great church. I have not been closely associated, but I was looking at my notes. Of course, I've known the Hoffmans over the years just from a distance, and we've interacted here and there, preached in places together, and we talked together about the formation of the Detroit Metro District. When COVID hit, he asked me to do a little video for the church, and then I did the 35th pastoral anniversary last year. Who would have thought? But you see, you know, it's amazing as you heard those stories, you watched those videos. Sometimes God works by answering prayer in a miraculous way, and we have a testimony. Sometimes God does not answer the way we desire or expect. We don't always know. But he will give us signs that everything is under his control. Even when he says, I'm not going to answer the way you want, but I will give you signs that I'm in control. I have not forsaken you. I'm faithful to you. I will lead you forward. And so it's comforting to know that God has orchestrated this. He did not exempt us from the trials of life. He did not do a miracle of intervention in the way that we all prayed. But he did make it very plain. I have a plan. I have a purpose. And it's time for you to move forward. And if you'll move forward, you'll be abundantly blessed. Amen. But notice, a new day requires spiritual direction. So he said, I want you to go. You're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to inherit and possess the land. But when the leaders go forward bearing the ark, which represented the covenant, which represented God's presence, God leading his people. So symbolically, as the priests and Levites carried the ark, that was the leadership team. That was the ministry carrying the presence of God forward. But he said to the people, don't get too close because you don't know which way you're going. In other words, if they crowded the leaders and the leaders turned to the right, then there would be mass chaos and people be running into each other. He said, you don't know. They don't know. Only I know. I'm going to lead them. But if they go this way or that way or pause or speed up, you have to stay far enough behind that you can see what I'm doing. Now, it doesn't mean they were not to be committed. What it was saying is, you don't know the way, they don't know the way, I know the way. So what's most important is not your plan, but my plan. You stay far enough back, you can see what I'm doing. You make sure that you don't get ahead of yourself with what you think is the best, that you don't think of a shortcut or I'll do this or I'll do that, but stop and wait and look and make sure you see what direction I want you to go. Because you haven't been this way before. If it was a path you'd already taken, you would know the way. But you've never been where I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you to territory you've never conquered. I'm going to give you battles and victories that you've never fought before. So you must make sure to hear my voice and see my direction. And of course, and I say this to the pastor and to all of you, if any of you lack wisdom, James says, ask of me. I'll give it liberally, and I won't rebuke you. It's always in order to say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm asking for your help. Lord, I need your guidance. Lord, we need your direction. We're going to stand and watch where you want us to go. And once we see it, then we'll move. But we do not want to get ahead of you. We need direction from you. God does have a plan for leadership. And God has put pastors in charge to take oversight, to be the shepherd, to cast the vision. But a pastor works with a team. We believe in a team ministry outside the local church. It's called the Fivefold Ministry. And I'm so thankful to see a great representation of ministerial friends of Pastor Bernard and of this church, because that shows strength. Different types of ministries, different parts of the country. The fact that they came of their own volition, at their own expense, taking their own time, means there's a strong team in place already of the Fivefold Ministry that will provide direction for this church in partnership with the pastor. But also there must be a team within the local church. That's called the priesthood of believers. Everyone is called to be a priest in the sense of serving the Lord. And so I believe, in talking to your pastor, that there is already a strong team in place of the elder board and the pastoral team. That's as it should be for a healthy church. There needs to be these two types of teams working. And of course, the pastor is the vision caster. He's the point person. He's the shepherd. He's the overseer. But he's not the lone ranger. It's mutual accountability. It's spiritual authority, but mutual accountability and mutual encouragement. So if you're a member of this church, I'm asking you to commit tonight. Yes, I will follow the leadership of my pastor as he follows the Lord, but I commit to be accountable to him, but I also commit to encourage him, to hold him up in prayer and in support. And I'm asking him to make the same commitment. I will be accountable to the people. I will lead you as God leads, and I will serve you, not as an authoritarian person, but as a servant. You see this in Joshua chapter 1 when Joshua was convening with the 2.5 tribes that had already gotten their land, but they agreed to go with the other tribes to possess the rest of it. And if you take the time, I won't take the time to read it, but in the end of Joshua 1, the people responded and they said, "We will follow you just as we followed Moses, as long as you keep preaching the same thing Moses preached." Paraphrasing. And they said, "We will follow you," but then they said, "Only be strong and courageous." Well, those are the same words that God had already told Joshua. But I think it's interesting. In our day, there are many people that really don't want a pastoral leadership. There are people that just want a preacher to tell them what they want to hear. But there are people who have been converted by the power of God, and they want a preacher to preach the truth. They want to know what it takes to be saved. They want to know the will of God. They want to know what it means to live a holy life. They want to be faithful to God. So they're telling the preacher, "Preacher, we'll follow you, but you got to be strong. You got to be courageous. We don't want somebody that will just pat us on the back and tell us what we want to hear. We don't want a preacher that will just tickle our ears with nice sounding words. We want a preacher who will preach. We want a preacher who will teach. We want an apostolic preacher. We want the apostolic doctrine. We want the way of holiness. We want to serve the Lord." So they said, "We'll follow you, Joshua, just as we followed Moses. If you keep preaching the word of God that Moses preached, we'll follow you. Only be strong and courageous." We want a strong leader. We want a courageous leader. We want a leader who'll fight with us and for us and against the devil. And so really, I'm appealing to the pastor to lead faithfully. I'm appealing to the church to follow faithfully. And together as a team, you can accomplish what God has for you. Amen. Now, some of us that are my age, we think Daniel Bernard, he's only 35 years old. That's young. But actually, if you think back, Jesus was 30 when he started his ministry. I did a little research. Martin Luther, who started the Protestant Reformation, was 33 when he started. William Seymour, who started the Azusa Street Revival, was 35. Nathaniel Urshan, one of our longest-serving general superintendent, was 28 when he became pastor of Calvary Tabernacle, the great church in Indianapolis. And I have to reminisce. We're not the same, and we're not in competition, and God does unique things in everyone's life. But I was 35 years old when we went to Austin to start the church with two little boys and a daughter on the way. And I had 11 years of full-time ministerial experience. Actually, Pastor Daniel has 14 years of ministerial experience with some of the leading churches of our movement. So he's further ahead than I was. So I was just starting from scratch in my home. He's already starting from a base of a strong church. So we'll see what God does, but I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm sure God has a plan. I'm sure the church is going to grow. I'm sure you're going to build your new building. So a new day requires spiritual direction. We've got to pause. We've got to pray. We've got to look. And we've got to see where God wants us to go. So watch the leaders. Watch your pastor and the pastoral team and the elder board. Don't crowd them out with your ideas, but make sure you see where God is leading them, and then you rush in to follow where God leads. Because a new day requires spiritual direction. And I can just tell you from my own experience, you launch a building program, you'll have unexpected challenges, unexpected costs, unexpected delays, but God will guide you and lead you. You need wisdom from above. You need more than management expertise. You need more than construction ability. You need more than legal knowledge. You need all those things, but you can get people to help you with all those things. But what is essential is we must hear from God. We need spiritual direction. We need a revival, and that comes from the Lord. You know, I've had enough experience and training that, Brother Walker, if you gave me a group of highly qualified people, I could build a strong denominational church. But God takes broken people, confused people, people who've been beat up by sin or by life, and He molds together a church. We could never do that. Pastor Bernard, you could never do that. But with God's wisdom, you can take people from every walk of life, every background, every race, every level of education, people that are successful, people not successful, people have been wounded in the world, people have been wounded in a church, people have been wounded by their own problems, people have been wounded by the devil. God can help you orchestrate all that and build a strong apostolic church by the grace of God. But it takes spiritual wisdom and spiritual direction. Amen. Also, if you continue reading in verse 5, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will work wonders among you. The Lord will do wonders. Sanctify yourselves. That means separate yourself. What separates us? Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them by truth. And he said, your word is truth. What sets us apart from everybody else in Detroit is truth. Not that we're better than anybody else, but we have the Word of God, and we believe the Word of God. We preach and teach the Word of God, and we do our best to follow the Word of God. And if we fail, we repent and we get up and we keep moving forward. And that's what makes us different than everybody else in this world. And so I challenge you as a church. Yes, we want to grow, but yes, we want to build a new building, but really those are just means to an end. The real point is to do the will of God. The real point is to win souls. The real point is to evangelize the lost. The real point is to disciple the people that God brings to maturity. And that means we must be apostolic. It's not just some other label or a denomination, but if you read Acts 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. So I challenge you, continue to preach the truth. Preach that there's the one true living God. Preach that Jesus is the Son of God, God manifest in flesh. Preach that the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried in the tomb. He rose again the third day. Preach that our response to the gospel, we must die with Jesus Christ in repentance. We must be buried with him in water baptism in Jesus' name. We must receive new life through the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the initial sign of speaking in tongues. That's the apostolic doctrine. We must preach and practice the way of holiness. Holiness starts on the inside. It's expressed on the outside with our relationships, the way we live, the way we talk, the way we dress. Everything about us is transformed, not because we're wonderful people, not because we're trying to save ourselves by our good works, but because God is doing a work within us that's precious and valuable and real. That's the kind of church we must be. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart through the truth. Set yourself apart with the pursuit of holiness. Set yourself apart with deep prayer. Set yourself apart with demonstrative, joyful worship. We must be sanctified if we want to do what God has called us to do, if we want to be what God has called us to be, if we want to step into this new day, we must be sanctified, committed. Committed. Praise God. And then notice also, a new day brings the promise of a miracle. Joshua said, if you'll follow the ark, don't get too close and crowd it out so you don't know which way to go. Make sure you know which way God's sending you. And if you'll sanctify yourselves, if you'll set yourself apart, if you'll dedicate yourself, then God will work wonders among you. And so we can be assured that as we move forward, pastor and people together, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see God do incredible things. We're going to see miracles of conversion. We're going to see God supply needs beyond our ability. Yes, we must be faithful in our stewardship. You've got a capital campaign. You've saved money. You've got plans. You've got ideas. But you've got vision. You've got dreams. Pastor Hoffman set it all up. But in addition to all that, you're going to need a miracle. You're going to face an obstacle where you don't have the answer. Your expertise is not enough. Your money is not enough. But in those moments, you can expect God will step in and say, I knew this was going to happen. I already have a plan. Yeah, you sanctified yourself. You prayed and you did your best and you worked your plan and then it got messed up. But God says, you know, I already knew that was going to happen. So if you just seek me, I'll tell you where to go from now. Expect a miracle. It's a great opportunity. And I believe this is exciting because here's an opportunity for a church that's been hit hard with the trials of life. But you're a solid church, you're a strong church. And many times when trials of life, whether it's an individual, a family, or a church, trials of life come, it can destroy if there's not a solid foundation. When the wind and the storms hit, church may look great, but when the winds and storm hits, it's not on a foundation, it just falls apart. But you've been hit by the wind and the storm, and you're standing firm. So what that means is there's an opportunity that you have. Everything the devil means for evil, God means for good. Everything life brings your way that could destroy you, God knows how to turn it around and bring it for good. So whatever the source, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, God always has a plan that ends up building on that trial, that ends up building on that storm, that ends up building on whatever came against you. God says, I'm going to put that in my plan and you're going to move forward that much stronger. So you have an amazing opportunity. You've gone through a difficult season, but you have an amazing opportunity for genuine revival and growth. Praise God. But and here's my last point, a new day. Reading verse 6, then Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And if you read the rest of the chapter, as the priest, so here they're marching towards this river and it was flooding. It was dangerous. They didn't know what was going to happen with the currents beneath the surface. It wasn't a trivial thing. And God did not miraculously part the waters first. He had them actually go to the soles of their feet touch the water. So those leaders had to step out by faith, just trusting God knew what he was doing. And they were actually getting ready to risk their lives because they were getting in the water with no assurance that there would be a miracle, but with a very real possibility they were getting into trouble, leading thousands of people right into a flood. It's pretty scary for a leader to do. But as they acted in faith, when their feet touched the water, it began to part. And the entire congregation crossed on dry ground. An amazing miracle took place. But they had to act first. Did you notice that? We wish God would do the miracle at the outset. We would pray, come up with a plan. God would go ahead and do a miracle. And then we'd be happy to execute the miracle. But God's way is pray, trust, have faith, step out in the unknown. See if I'll do anything or not. And in my own time, my own way, I'll do more than what you thought. But a new day requires faith in action. A new day requires you to act. It requires a commitment. It requires a sacrifice. So I believe spiritually, you saw the videos. How could you deny it if you really are spiritually sensitive? God is opening up a new day
in the chapter of a wonderful church. But the new day requires spiritual direction. New day requires sanctification. The new day brings a promise of a miracle. But the new day requires faith in action. So obviously I'm preaching to the pastor and his wife, but I'm preaching to the whole congregation. If you'll move forward in faith with these simple principles, I believe you'll see in this coming year, challenges, yes. Obstacles, yes. Unexpected problems, yes. But you'll see unanticipated miracles. You'll see conversions. You'll see divine supply. God will write your story. God has a plan that exceeds what you know right now. This is the new day. And if I can be so bold, this is a new day for Detroit Metro. This is a new day for Michigan. This is a new day for the United Pentecostal Church International. Brother Sistrunk, 2 years in a row of record church planting. Something is happening not only in Sterling Heights, not only in Detroit Metro, but around the United Pentecostal Church International. Something is stirring. Something is moving. We now have over 45,000 churches worldwide, 5.8 million constituents, and you get to be right in the middle of it. Sterling Heights First Church, you get to be a leader. You get to be at the forefront. You get to be a pace setter. I challenge you. Rise up to the challenge. Pray the prayer of faith. Commit yourself to your leadership. And then act in faith. Oh, praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand together? Now, this is not quite the end. But I would like for Pastor and Sister Bernard to come. And if you'd like to bring your kids. And I'm going to ask them to stand in front. This is an official installation. And as I say, it's in some ways a ceremony and a formality. But another way, I believe God honors that commitment. They've already been doing the work. I can't add to their ability or their anointing or their calling. But we can pray for God to give them a special infusion of wisdom and anointing for the task. So if you would come, and then the elder board and the pastoral team, would you gather around behind them and beside them? Because you're leaders that the people have chosen. And it is a team ministry. And so you're committing yourself to be accountable to them, but they're committing to be accountable to you. You're committing to encourage them, but they're committing to encourage you. You're committing to pray for them. They're committing to pray for you. So the leadership of this church, whoever all that represents, and we, the congregation, and the friends that are cheering them on, we're going to pray right now and ask for God to put his hand. And I would like any district board members that are here, Brother Wilson, you're the district superintendent. I want you to be part of this too. And I want you to come, and we're going to, Brother Christian, I want you to come. You're part of this. And I want you to come, and we're going to collectively say as a church and as a district, we're going to support this pastoral couple, and in turn, they're going to commit to support you. And I want the whole congregation to pray that there would be a Holy Ghost anointing. Let's pray right now. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you would honor this special occasion that we've chosen. And you see Daniel and Kaylee Bernard and their three children, Claire, Elise, and Christian. I ask that you'd put a special anointing upon them, supply their needs, encourage them when discouragement comes, give them wisdom in time of difficult decisions. Give them supernatural anointing to minister to a lost city, to minister to faithful saints. Lord, and I ask that you would bind this pastoral team and this elder board together. All the leadership of the church, and beyond that, the leadership of the district, that we would bind together as one team to do the work of God. Hallelujah. Would you pray? Would you reach out your hand? Brother Sistrunk, you come and help us here. You've been a big part of this. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we ask for your special anointing. We ask for your special care, Lord. Confirm the word with signs following. Confirm the word with signs following. There's a witness of the Holy Ghost. There's a witness of the Holy Ghost. God can reach out and fill somebody with the Holy Ghost right now. God can encourage somebody. God can speak a word. God can heal you right now. Because we're trying to follow God's plan. It's a new day. This is a day of miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got one more. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you feel the confirmation? Do you feel the Lord is in this? Amen.